Good morning, everyone. Just to let you know, for the next couple weeks, Manny and I are going to be on vacation the next couple Sundays, and we're going to see my nieces and nephew up in Northern California around Sacramento. Since Manny and I are expecting our first kid, we're going to do some training, how to wrangle kids, things like that. So we'll be gone for these next two Sundays. Next Sunday, Craig Statton, a friend of mine, a mentor in ministry, is going to be doing our preaching, and he's going to do an awesome job. I'm looking forward for you guys to hear him and get to meet him. And the week after, Josh Hollingsworth will be preaching, and Josh always does a fantastic job. So just want to let you know for the next couple weeks, you don't have to hear me talk about money anymore. So congratulations. Also, I want to let you know that our small group that kind of talks through the sermon and thinks about the sermon will meet on Sunday night at 5, right across here in this back corner of the room, and it's always a good time to kind of get to know each other a little bit better and spend time kind of in God's Word, studying what we've talked about on Sunday morning. And also, our families group is going to meet immediately after this in the foyer across the way. We have some lunch prepared, and we're going to eat together. So if you're visiting with us and you have some kids, come on over. We're going to have a meal together and also kind of study the sermon and think a little bit more about what we've talked about today. So those are all my announcements, all my ads for this morning. So we're concluding our series where we've thought about wealth and what it means to be a good, wealthy person, because it's important for us to think about that. We did a series through the book of Amos where we really examined Amos, and Amos will probably leave you with a question like, how do I use my wealth well? Because in Amos, the people in that time were extremely wealthy, but they weren't really using their wealth for God's glory. And so you probably want to ask that question, how do I use it well? How do I use what God has given me to glorify God? And it's important for us to think about this because the kind of the backdrop of this series, Jesus says something that should surprise us. He says, you can't serve both God and what? Money. Yeah, which is kind of surprising because if we were the ones writing that, if I was to say it, I would do it kind of like the Homer Simpson picture that we've showed several times. And you think of like an angel on one side, a devil on the other. And if I was to say, you can't serve both God, I think I would say, you can't serve both God and Satan. You can't serve both God and evil. I mean, we would fill in the blank with something like that. But Jesus, when given this opportunity, says, you can't serve both God and money, or you can kind of translate that word stuff. You want to say, really? Does that really matter that much? Apparently, it does. And so we've been doing this series, Good Wealth, where we're trying to ask that question. How do we do well with the wealth that we've been given? As we talked about, there are some statistics that should probably make you feel pretty wealthy. If your household income, now I'm not talking about both of you, if your household income is $50,000, you're in the top 4% of the world's wealthy. And I know if you and I were to have a conversation, we were to sit down and go through your finances and really look at it and the loans you have to pay back or the mortgage that you have, we would probably say, yeah, you're not really all that wealthy. You don't have that much left over. But in reality, many of us have a lot of space, a lot of stuff. And in this series, I showed you my shoe collection, which is very vast. About 4 or 5 pairs of shoes. We have a lot of stuff, and it's easy for us to start to rely on our stuff and not really consider ourselves wealthy. We think that the person that's richer than us is wealthy, but we don't really think about that for ourselves. There's a website called First World Problems, which talks about the things that happen that people complain about only in kind of the wealthy nations. And it's very funny. You should go read it sometime. And it has lots of examples of different things that people complain about. And sometimes I think we need to ask ourselves the question, like, do I actually have a problem or do I have a rich person problem? Like, do I actually have an issue here or not? I mean, some examples of rich person problems, bad cell phone coverage, you know, and you're like looking at your phone, shaking it, trying to get it to make a call. It's not really working. That's a rich person problem. Your kid's teacher didn't call you back. It's kind of a rich person problem. Limited vacation time, rich person problem. Computer crashes, rich person problem. The satellite TV guy said he's going to come for some ambiguous time, like I'll be there between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. And you're like, when is that going to happen? How am I going to have someone at the house waiting there all day? And you're kind of frustrated, and it's probably a rich person problem. And these things are frustrating, and they can frustrate you to various degrees, but maybe you could ask yourself that question, is this really an issue, or is this just something that I have in my life because I'm pretty wealthy? And what we've noticed is the problem with wealth is that it's easy for it to become our God, that our hope migrates to our wealth. The things that we trust in, the things that we hope in, we think, if we just could get that three-bedroom house, if we could just get that new car, if I could just save enough to pay for this, if I could get to that number in my retirement account, then I would be perfectly safe and I would be happy. But we've talked about that number is a myth. There is not a number that will make you perfectly safe or perfectly happy. And it's a lie that we sometimes believe, that we can be fulfilled by things. And this is so crucial, really, throughout the Bible, so central to the teachings of Jesus. That's why Jesus says you can't serve both God and money. And today, I want us to think about something that has motivated Christian generosity forever. And Christianity is one of the most generous religions in the world. That's been true throughout history. You want to know one of the main motivations for that? I think it's found in the passage that we've been studying together, 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world. I mean, Paul kind of tips his hand there, right? Command those who are rich in this present world. And this is what I believe has motivated Christian generosity for centuries. Command those who are rich in this present world. So what Paul is saying is, he kind of tips his hand here. This world isn't it. The world that we have, the things that we enjoy, the life that we live here, the life that we have here isn't it. And generally, people would agree with that. There was a poll done recently, and 97% of people said that they believe that there is something beyond this life in the United States. 97%. That's something that I think generally we would agree with as well. And there's not going to be enough for you to have everything that you want. There's not going to be enough that will satisfy you in this present world. But we're constantly fed messages that make us think otherwise, that you really need this burger completes your life. Or you really need that will complete your life. If you save this much in retirement, that will make you satisfied, that will make you happy. So we're constantly hearing these messages that are so different than this. And Paul's perspective is, there is a present world, but it's not all that there is. And there's a here and there's a now, but it's not all that there is. In fact, there's going to be more someday. You kind of see this thought picked up throughout this passage in 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, which we've looked at several times in this series. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up for themselves a treasure as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And see what Paul is getting at there. That this life isn't it. That this life is part, it's a glimpse of what our future life can be. But make sure that those who are rich, make sure that those who are wealthy, make sure they know that this isn't it. Make sure that they know that retirement isn't it. Make sure they know that the things they have, the vacations they can have here, it isn't it. So Paul is saying, if you are rich, there's a lot more at stake than the things that you see around you. And you can't just view your money and your wealth through the lens of now, or through the lens of 30 years from now, or through the lens of when you retire. You can't just view it that way. View your wealth through the lens of eternity. That this present age isn't it. Jesus echoes these thoughts in a parable. Actually, Paul echoes Jesus, but Jesus kind of shares some of these thoughts in a parable that he tells in Luke chapter 12. He says this, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.'" There's a rich person problem, right? "I have so much food, I have no place to even store it. It's so hard." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" So it starts with this story, and it says there's a rich man who gets richer. He gets a huge abundance of crops. We don't really like these people. It's like the people who really make a really good investment and they're even richer than they were before. And you're like, why didn't I think of that? And there's a rich man who becomes even richer. And his response isn't, "Well, I had extra before because I'm rich. And this extra that now has come." His response isn't, "Well, I have extra now, so I should be able to share." His response is, "Let me build a bigger barn. Let me build a bigger barn to store all this stuff. I've got extra. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to build a bigger barn." And you have to know, the people in Jesus' day, as they're listening to Jesus as he tells this parable, they probably think, yep, that's smart. That's wise. That's the right thing to do. Because the Old Testament talks about the importance of saving. It talks about having a plan for your life. And so saving isn't like a terrible thing. And I believe the Bible encourages us to have a plan. But what's the problem with this guy in this story? It's he's saving without giving. He's had this huge abundance and he's like, "Here, I have to build a bigger barn so I can protect myself. I have to build this bigger barn so I can protect all this extra stuff that I now have." And there's no indication that he thinks, "You know, I've been extremely blessed by God, so I'm going to use what I've been blessed with to bless others." And again, the people who were listening to this story, they would have expected Jesus to end right there. They would have expected him to just say, "Yep," and then he built a bigger barn, and that's what happened. They would have said, "Yep, that's a good idea." It's kind of the same words we would use to describe this guy, you know, wise, smart, saving for a rainy day. And the crowd probably would have thought, he did the right thing. He put stuff away, he got a bigger barn, and now he will never need. But Jesus doesn't end the parable there. He then talks about it through the lens of God's eyes. He puts God's perspective on this story, and he says, "You fool." He doesn't say, "You're smart," or "Good job," "Way to go. You've now saved your way into safety. Congratulations, you can just eat, drink, and be merry and be good." He doesn't say that. It starts with, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then, who will get what you've prepared for yourself?" And what's the answer to that question? Not you, right? You don't know when your life is going to end. We all don't know when our lives will end. So the answer to this question, who's going to get all that stuff that you're storing away? Who's going to get all the stuff that's in your barn? Someone else. And at the end of our lives, we all leave the same amount. It's all of it. And we don't get to like save a little back and hold some over and like, "I know I haven't been that good, God, so here's a 20, like let me in." Like you're not going to be able to reach for your wallet when you're in heaven. It's going to be a little bit different. So they ask this question, who's going to get all that stuff that you've saved? Who's going to get all that stuff you have in that extra barn, all that extra that you now have? And Jesus continues and says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. This is how it will be for people who store up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. And there's a temptation when you're wealthy to start to think that you can save your way to safety, or that you can build a high enough wall that you're going to be safe in this world, that you can hoard enough if you just had more stuff, then your life would be complete. But Jesus is telling us, and Paul is telling us, not to be rich in that way, but to be rich towards God. And to understand that this present age isn't it. And that someday, you're going to be held accountable for how you used your stuff. That someday, God's going to look at how you use the things that you were blessed with and say, what'd you do with it? How did you bless others? How much did you give? Not how much did you store, how much do you still have left over, but how much did you give? And imagine a situation like you have some kids maybe in your neighborhood and you do something really nice for them. You know, you take them out to get ice cream, or you take them to a game or something, and you spend time with someone else's kids and you take them home and the kids are really happy and they've had a really good time. And there's almost nothing nicer that you can do for someone than to do something nice for their kids, right? And they're really excited. They're like, thank you so much. And this is exactly what I think Jesus is getting at. That we need to be nice, be generous with people who are image bearers of God. That all people in the world carry God's image. And how are we taking care of God's kids? How are we being generous with what we have? At the end of our life, we can say, like, it's like returning kids who've had a really fun day. How can we say, God, look at the things that I did to bless those, even though maybe they didn't even know who you were. But I gave generously to this cause, to this church, to this person. I gave generously to this because I wanted people to know that they were made in your image. It's like dropping off kids at the end of a fun day and the parents are so excited. God is saying, what are you doing to show people that they are made in my image? And the problem is when you store up for yourself, you lose out on that opportunity. When you store up for yourself, you lose out on the opportunity to show others that they're made in the image of God. And the reason that I really wanted to do this series and think about this for a few weeks is because chances are you are wealthy by the world's standards. And if you're not right now, maybe you're between jobs, or you don't have a job, you haven't had one for a long time. Or maybe you're planning for a wedding, which happens next week, and so you're like, all your resources are going to that for the time being. But maybe you're not really feeling all that rich right now. But I think someday, most of us will be by the world's standards. Most of us will fall somewhere on that scale. So the question is, do you have a plan? Do you have a plan to give? Do you have a plan to give generously so you don't just end up with a huge barn full of extra, extra stuff? As we talked about last week, generally Americans give spontaneously, like they see something and they text the number and give $10, or they help out, and that's a good thing to do. But I think it's important for us as the people of God to make an active choice to see the things that we have whenever we get a paycheck into our account, whenever we have some money that comes our way, that we say, I'm going to give some of this to God first. I'm going to give some of this to glorify God's name so people will know that they are made in the image of God. So at the end of your life, you can look back and you don't have just a bigger barn, but you've been able to bless people with the money that you've been given. That you've changed lives, that you've showed people that they are created in God's image by the way that you gave. And think about it like this. Here's 10 single dollar bills. Now what if just every time you got $10, you just said, this one is going to God. This one is going to God's work in our world. And you'd still have 9 left. And maybe right now you're really working with single dollar bills, but someday they're going to be hundreds. And I'm going to turn them into hundreds right now. It didn't work. I haven't learned that trick yet. There's still ones. And you're going to gain more responsibility if you have a job, if you continue to move up, eventually the ones will turn in to hundreds. Maybe they'll even turn in to something more someday. And what if every time you got $10, you said, this is going to God's glory. This is going at the church, because we hope to be a church that really furthers the kingdom of God, but maybe it's a charity that you're interested in being involved with. Maybe it's something else. But you say, this dollar out of this 10 is going to God's work in our world. In the Old Testament, it talks about a tithe of 10%. And I don't believe that there's necessarily a number that the New Testament talks about. But as we discussed last week, do you even know what number you give? And I hope you had that conversation maybe last week. And you said, you know, maybe right now we're giving 5% of what we have, and let's try to make it 6. Let's try to make it 7. Because I think as Christians, we should always bend towards generosity. We should always be moving in the direction of generosity as much as we possibly can. So imagine if every time you got 10 of these, you just said, I'm going to give one away. And you just said, I'm going to live on the rest. I'm going to live, I'm going to save, I'm going to have fun on the rest. You know, it's interesting, pastors talk a lot about tithing and the importance of tithing from the Old Testament, but the offering to the church is not the only tithe that's mentioned in the Old Testament. There's also a tithe which I like to call the party tithe, which is another 10% of what you have that's supposed to be used. It's mentioned in the book of Leviticus, a 10% of what you have that's supposed to be used on celebration and enjoying life. So you don't end up like Scrooge. So like when you have an opportunity to go see your favorite band sometimes that's coming to town, or you have an opportunity to do something really fun with your spouse that you really enjoy, that you're not just like, honey, you know, we need to save more for retirement, that there's a 10% party tithe that you're like, we're going to celebrate with this. And you get to ask yourself the question, like, what makes us really happy? What makes us really enjoy life? What makes life fun? You said, we're going to enjoy life. I mean, the intention of these things, I don't think is to make you like hate God or make you feel guilty. And what if this is the best way to live? And what if you just said, God, 10% is yours. 10% we're going to use to celebrate and be thankful for all that we have. And the other 80, we'll live off. We'll save. We'll find ways to make that work. We'll find ways to celebrate. We'll find ways to give. I think the number one issue that makes this so important is Jesus knows that it's so easy for this to get your heart, for this to be the thing that you put your trust in, for this to be the thing that you put your hope in. So I hope that you can become a good, wealthy person. The first week, we talked about the way to do that, to be generous, to do for one what you wish you could do for all, to do for one, to give generously to one, to one cause, to find a church to give to and give generously. And then secondly, we talked about putting our hope in the right place, learning to let our hope not migrate to like that one thing or if I could only get there. Don't let your hope migrate to this, put it in God, the God who richly provides for us. And then third, we talked about pre-deciding to give, because the problem is like a meal that comes to us at lunch. The average meal at a restaurant is like 1,400 calories. Nobody needs 1,400 calories, but you eat it because it's in front of you. But if you pre-decide with your money and you said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to say, I'm going to figure out a way to live off 80% or 90%, whatever it is, I'm going to figure out a way to do that. You won't need it all. And then fourth, as we talked about today, have an eternal perspective that this isn't all that there is. And this isn't all that there is. And that one day, you'll be held accountable, just like the one who had a bigger barn. And Jesus says that God says to that person, not well done, good job, way to save your way into here. He says, you fool. You had such an opportunity. You had extra, extra. Here's the thing that I know about all of us. We all have been blessed by people who gave like this. And this building didn't come to us on accident. It wasn't just here and we just snapped our fingers and it came. Look at the amazing blessing that we have here. And not only have we been blessed by people who gave like this, we've been blessed by people who gave like this, of their money and their time. I was just with Yvonne Smith, with Martin and Evelyn Christensen, who are celebrating their 65th wedding anniversary here in a few days. They're longtime members of our church. And they were talking to me about like all the crazy work it took to get this building prepared and how people were just coming up. They would get off as soon as they can and come up from work to work hard to build on this property. And we have an amazing blessing in this property. We have people who gave like this of their time and of their wealth. I mean, little Church of, Glendale Church of Christ trivia, I didn't even know this, but apparently Pat Boone led singing on the first Sunday when this building was up. I didn't even know that, but apparently it happened. I mean, he's no James, but... We've been blessed by people who've given like this. And what if at the end of your life you could look back and look at the things that you've given to, the causes that you've been part of, and you can't help but be proud because you've taken care of God's kids well. Because you have shown the world that they have God's image. And it's so tempting and so easy to put your trust in this. It's so easy to choose what's tangible, what you can hold, what you can see. It's so easy to choose what's tangible over what's spiritual. It's so easy to believe in what's tangible and what you can hold and what you can see. But the question that we have as we think about our wealth is, will you see that there's a spiritual dimension to this as well? Will you see that the way that you use this matters forever? Let's pray. God, I pray over us that we would be generous people. We've been blessed over and over again by people who were generous. People who didn't ask, well, how much should I give, but how much can I give? God, I'm so thankful for the hearts of the men and women who've gone before us, who have blessed us and put us in this place. I pray that we'll honor their legacy and the ways that they lived by being generous as well. Being generous to show your love to our world. Being generous in how we spend our time, being generous in how we spend the wealth that you've given us. God, help us not to just build bigger barns, but to use what you've given us to serve others and to glorify you. God, and in those moments when we get that extra, when we get a little bit more, I pray that we'll give of that, that we'll give generously. God, I want us all to be good, wealthy people, that we would use our wealth for your glory. And I pray we would all do that, that we would be generous in how we share and not just generous in how we store. God, I pray over all the ways that you're going to bless our lives. I pray that in all of it, we'll acknowledge you and not just choose the tangible, but see the spiritual. In your son's name I pray. Amen.